This is WordPress Weekly, the show dedicated to all things WordPress. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Sarah Gooding.
Welcome to episode 143 of WordPress Weekly for Friday, March 28th, 2014. I am your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by my beautiful, lovely co-host, Sarah Gooding. Sarah, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Busy week as always in the WordPress community. Let's roll right along here into the some of the headlines of this week. If you haven't noticed, if you used WordPress for iOS on the iPhone or iPad, there's a new update that's available, 4.0 to be exact. Includes a couple of bug fixes, but the biggest thing about this new version is that the stats portion of the app is now a native component. So what this means is it improves the look and feel. It looks more native to the device that it's on, that you're viewing the stats on, and it also makes it, it has given it a considerable improvement in terms of performance and how fast it loads. So that's pretty neat. I noticed in particular that my WordPress for iOS app on my iPhone was starting, sometimes it does this crazy thing where the notifications bubble increases and there's no way for me to refresh it. And I also started noticing certain websites that I was connected to in the app, I started seeing more and more of them, like of the same site. I have like some sort of gremlins were in there, but I never really got too involved with it or too concerned to the point where I reported bugs. So, but I am happy to report that after upgrading to 4.0, all the issues have gone away. So I don't know what the problem was, but now everything's working correctly. Although I will say that the notifications bubble on the app, when you're looking at it on the home screen on my iPhone, it'll say, let's say, 8 notifications. And I'll think that means I have 8 new comments or I have a new comment. And it's hard for me. I found it confusing to actually decipher whether that means I have new comments or if that's specifically just for notifications. And as I've done a little more investigating, it turns out the little bubble is just specifically for notifications. So it's not exactly mean. It might mean you have a new comment. It might mean something else. It's just for notifications. So I find that a little bit confusing, so maybe they can tackle that in a further update. But the team behind WordPress for iOS says that 4.0.1 will be dedicated to just code bug fixes and minor tweaks. But then it looks like 4.1 is going to concentrate on media management. So looking forward to how they implement how to manage media within the iPhone and iPad devices. See how that turns out.
Do you block from your phone a lot?
No, I don't. I've tried to. I will say that WordPress for iOS 3.9 was a major step, was a big improvement in terms of creating content, writing content. It's a lot it's a much better, simpler interface. But I mean, it just drives me crazy. I don't know if I have banana thumbs or what, but I mean, trying to type out a post on a phone is just not my idea of a great experience. And you know, I just think whether it's an iPad or whatever else, I think you're just limited to the device you're writing you're creating that content on. I mean, there's nothing really WordPress can do except, I mean, they've already made it very simple and they got the keypad there, so other than actually like typing the post for me, which I don't know if they can do with mind reading, but well, actually, I think they might have, you might be able to talk, I think there is a, I'd have to double check this, I think there is a, like a speech to text button that you can push, and maybe you can dictate to the WordPress app your post. I haven't looked into that yet, but I might. That might be a better experience than actually having me type all these things out. There's nothing but typos everywhere. I miss having my mouse and doing copy and paste and fixing errors in the iPhone app. But you don't have iOS. You use Android, right?
Right. I'm an Android user, so we're kind of a divided house here, but that's good because, you know, then you can be the iOS expert and I'll write about the Android stuff, test that out.
So I think they've recently come out with a new update for Android, because they usually come out now. They've got it down to where most of the time big features come out almost simultaneously for each of the mobile platforms.
Yeah, I think Android added the better stats in the last round. And I honestly, I don't use it very much because I'm like a paranoid Android. I don't want to accidentally publish a post, especially like with a working title and there's nothing in it but a link and you're just getting ready to start working on it. I don't think I'd even use the app to go in and save a draft because I'm too nervous that I might slip up and publish it to the whole world.
Yeah, I've noticed too. I've gone to edit. Maybe I'm out on the road and I have to edit a post because there's a typo. Maybe I missed it. Sometimes the editor, it puts all the text into just one big block. It doesn't keep it separated.
Uh-huh.
That makes it very hard for me to sort of find out where that typo is and edit it and save it. So that's one thing I don't like about it. But that also sometimes happens between switching from the visual and text editors in WordPress when I use it on the desktop. So that's more or less an editor issue. But overall, I like the mobile app primarily for managing the site, but not so much for writing content.
I think it's great for moderating comments. That's what I use it for primarily.
Yep, that's primarily what I use it for as well. So Quick, Q-I-K, made an announcement that they will be shutting down. And the company was founded in 2006. And just to give you a little bit of historical perspective, YouTube was founded in February of 2005.
Wow.
It's almost 10 years now YouTube's been around. It doesn't seem like it's been around that long. But Quick enabled users to mobile phone users to share live video with their friends, family, and followers. And in January 2011, the company was acquired by Skype. And 3 years after announcing the acquisition, they've announced that they're going to be shutting down. So you have until April 30th, 2014 to save your videos. And this also pertains to users who have added URLs to Quick videos in their WordPress posts and pages because WordPress did have OEmbed support for Quick, meaning you could just take a URL of a Quick video, put it in a post or page, and WordPress would automatically make it look like it was embedded, which is really cool. But after WordPress 3.9, WordPress will no longer have OEmbed support for Quick because Quick is disappearing. So there's Quick has there's an explanation. We'll have it linked up to in the show notes, but you can download your videos from Quick and store them on a local drive or store them elsewhere, or they actually have a YouTube feature where you can actually move your videos from Quick to YouTube. And, you know, there's no guarantee that YouTube's going to be around forever because they're a service, but I think they're going to be around a lot longer than some of the other video type services that are out there. So I think it's just another reminder that the best time to own your content is now, and that's not to say that you shouldn't use a third-party service, whether it's YouTube or something else, because these type of services are great assets, and they expose you to a huge audience that otherwise maybe wouldn't be able to get on your own. But you know, I think my rule of thumb is to always have a backup copy of your original works and do not trust a third party. To have your best interests in mind, because after all, they're primarily a business, and hey, you know, sometimes business needs supersede those of the users or their customers.
Well, that's true.
So, so let's see here. Oh, my favorite topic. WordPress Smiley Wars. Yeah, Wakora.new emoticons. We haven't talked about this in 5 years, and now here we are talking about it again. So, Sarah, I got to say, first of all, you wrote a post on smileys this week on WP Tavern that never in a million years could I have structured a post about smileys in the way you did. So congratulations. It's a great post, by the way. I enjoyed
Thank
reading
you.
It. I enjoyed reading it. But summarize why this debate it has come up to the surface again.
Well, I kind of went down a rabbit hole this week. I mean, diving into smiley history, it was like I lost touch with reality. I mean, I guess what spurred it on is WordPress.com introduced a new set of smileys, which are pretty cool. You know, you can resize them, make them really big, and they still appear to be crisp and sharp, and they look nice on the screen. So I wrote about that, and then somebody made a plugin so that people could use this on self-hosted WordPress sites. And that was pretty exciting. And then that kind of got the conversation going. And the Smiley Wars Part 1 from 5 years ago was brought up. And so I decided to dive into Smiley history. And it, you know, it probably looks like I am a Smiley obsessed fool. But I just wanted to, you know, to grasp what this means to the community right now and what, you know, what the discussion is all about. So I went down, checked out the history, and saw that we had kind of a similar situation 5 years ago where something big happened with Smileys and a lot of people were upset about it. You covered this in a post called
Nothing to
Smile About.
Yeah, this is back in the day when I actually had creativity and writing posts, you know, post titles. You know, nothing to smile about. So back then, you know, we had these pixelated smileys, which still exist in WordPress today, and a contributor said, hey, why don't we switch them over to these Tango Genome smileys, which are more stylistic, and maybe they look better. And so there was a patch proposed, and it looked like they were going to be merged right into core, but boy, the feedback on that, the feedback on that was not great. A lot of people took exception to that. Specifically, a few other people who said, you know, smileys are content, and if you just outright change them, you're changing content on my site without my consent, and that was a big issue back then.
Mm-hmm.
So, as a matter of fact, Matt Mulloway actually said, back then, there was a huge support thread on WordPress.com where they initially switched the icons over from the old ones to the new ones, and a lot of people were upset about them. So Matt actually suggested that we revert back to the old smileys. Let's create a canonical plugin that has every smiley GPL smiley pack known to man in there so everybody could be happy and there's a smiley in there for everybody. But what ended up happening was in WordPress 2.9, released in December of 2009, introduced a smileys underscore source filter, which I believe was written by Samuel Otto Wood. And he, what that filter does is allows plugins to add custom smileys. And that seemed to satisfy everybody for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So where are we at now?
Well, I think WordPress.com introducing this new set of smileys kind of puts the old smileys right back in the spotlight. So everybody's kind of looking at them and seeing how, you know, they don't work very nicely on Retina displays. They look all pixelated and blurry, and that's a problem for a lot of people, and they want to bring the smileys into the modern era.
Yeah, I mean, so, people spend thousands of dollars on Apple products with super high-end displays, and they want to see great-looking smileys.
They want the good-looking smileys. Come on. So I understand where they're coming from, and but then on the other side, you know, changing all these smileys from years and years worth of posts is a huge deal because there's context involved in how people use the smileys and what they meant to say in their comments, in a comment thread, in a post. You know, it makes a huge difference sometimes in a sentence depending on whether the smiley is a smile or the tongue is sticking out. But then if you change that, the face of that smiley, to have a different personality, a totally different character, then it kind of changes the meaning of the words in some ways. But so, that is kind of a subjective debate because, you know, everyone perceives the smiley faces in a different way. So the
big question, which has come up again, let me ask you your opinion on this. Do you think smileys, the icons, the emoticons, the images themselves, do you think they're content or do you think they're separate from content?
I think they're content, yeah. So
I think they're content as well. I think they're, you know, if it's, I think comments are content for a site, and primarily that's where I use smiley faces, although I use the text-based ones. I do not use the images. But if comments are content and smileys are in there, then, you know, that's, smileys are content. I mean, I don't personally use them in posts or pages due to professionalism, you know, but I could say, you know, if you, let's say you just you upgrade WordPress and the smileys are just automatically changed, but the new images maybe, you know, like you said, reflect maybe a happy face now looks more like a disgusted face or something like that, just based on you know, the new way of representation. In a way, you are changing content, and more specifically, changing content without the user's consent. And I don't like that. I don't like the idea that this happened with the capital P dang it filter. It still irks me to this day that that ever happened. It still stings. Sure, there are plugins to revert it. I just wish something like that never happened regardless. But I think overall, WordPress has gotten to a point, ideally, I would like to see Smiley's removed from WordPress altogether and just gracefully replaced with a plugin, sort of like we're doing with the Link Manager and a couple other features.
The WordPress. Post by email. And
yes.
Yeah.
So that's what I would like to see, because I get it. The Smileys we have now are pixelated. They're from a generation or two ago, from when those types of images were cool.
Are very attached to them, though. I mean, yes. You just cannot ignore that. I thought that you were just being grumpy by keeping the Smileys turned off. So I went in one day and turned them on WP Tavern, but I saw the condition of these old-looking Smileys, and I was like, good Lord, no, we can't have these. So I turned them right back off again because I think I probably was on my MacBook Pro at the time, but they look so blurry and I couldn't do it. So I don't think I could use them right now, but if I'd been in the habit of using them for years and years, it would definitely irk me to have them suddenly change to a totally different set of characters. So I see where people are coming from there, and I'm not sure how they're going to solve this one, but it'll be interesting to see how it evolves.
And I think the debate comes down to, I think it makes sense. We have Smileys that represent, you know, that just look good, and they look good on the screens and everything. But I think the core of the debate here is how we gracefully switch between the new emoticons while maybe still allowing the old ones to be seen or just not outright changing them. I think the core of the debate here is all about how we do this transition.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be really interesting to see. I've followed the ticket, and in protest of the pixelated Smileys, I've changed my Twitter avatar, in case anyone... that's why I'm looking a little yellow this week. Based on a suggestion from you, Sarah.
I barely noticed. It looks just like the face you always make.
Yeah, it clearly represents my view on tech. So... yeah, we'll have to see what happens. We'll keep an eye on the Smiley debate, Smiley War number two.
It's an interesting one because I think it calls up like how closely design and content are tied together. Mm-hmm. And I think somebody commented on the ticket recently about, you know, if we just left the Smileys from the day that we changed them forward, we make those all new ones and then leave the old ones, like put something into the code to tell WordPress if it's an older post, use old Smileys, if it's a new post, use new Smileys. Somebody proposed that idea, but then, you know, we don't do that. Like when you change your WordPress theme, it doesn't keep all your old posts with the old theme. You know, your content gets the new design and everything is refreshed. So
but somebody brought that up in the ticket, but the argument I have on that is when you switch themes, that's a user's choice.
That's true.
They're changing the theme, they're changing the design. Mm-hmm. If you upgrade WordPress because you're told to do it to keep everything up to date and your Smileys change without your consent, that's not something the user that's not without the consent there to switch them over. I mean, that's not a very good comparison, in my opinion.
Yeah, it would be an uncomfortable situation there for a lot of people.
So speaking of Smileys, I'm going to put my happy face on for this story. WordCamp Miami to host a free WordPress Beginners Workshop for kids, which if I understand correctly is the first time an event like this has taken place. And Sarah, you're actually going to be really involved with this project in Miami.
Yeah, actually I think other WordCamps have done this before, but it's the first time for it to happen at the Miami one in 5 years. So they're going to kind of expand it to include families, and kids will come with their parents and learn how to publish to the internet. So that'll be really fun.
So you're going to be working with Tammy Lister,
mm-hmm.
Who did the, I believe, a recent book on BuddyPress theming, right?
Right.
And you guys are going to be walking through the process with kids and parents of setting up and customizing a blog on WordPress.com. And I'm sure you'll be able to point out where the smileys are. Maybe they'll have fun with that. Make sure you tell them about smileys.
I'm sure they know about smileys. So, you know, kids know a lot more than we give them credit for. I'm sure some of these kids probably already code applications and, you know, whatever. This is really just for absolute beginners. No experience with WordPress at all. They're going to come in and learn how to put blogs on the internet and have a good time.
I mean, if you're doing this session, and the session's going to be geared towards kids between the ages of 8 and 12, but it would be open to any age, I would not be surprised if you run into a problem and one of these kids, like, says, you know, just scoot you over to the side. They start opening up some IDE development editor and just whips up a plugin to solve a problem. I would not be surprised.
That would be awesome.
I mean, I actually expect that type of behavior from the new generation.
Yeah, they were born into this world, so.
Yeah, they were born to know how to do plugins.
It'll be fun. Yeah, it'll be a good time, and hopefully we'll be able to see what the next generation of WordPress bloggers are interested in doing.
Yeah, that's a fantastic event, and we're looking forward to when we do the WordPress Weekly episode the week after that. It'd be cool to sort of review and how that went and what you noticed from the kids, and maybe you can give us a little insight as to what the new generation wants to know about.
Yeah.
There is a disturbing post published by Sakiri earlier this week, and it reminded us once again why it's important to download plugins from trusted sources. In the post that they published, they talk about a number of commercial plugins that were being redistributed for free, with the exception that those plugins had backdoors, or they had information in them, or they had certain code in them that would create administrator-type users. Really just bad, funky code that no user wants to get involved in. And, you know, this type of problem with redistributing, whether it's commercial themes or commercial plugins, has been around for a long time. In fact, in 2009, I remember Leland Fiegel of ThemeLab, he published a video, a screencast, that just showed people, look, if you Google free themes, if you go to google.com, type in free WordPress themes, and you visit the first, I don't know, 3 to 5 pages of results, download the theme, now look in the code, you'll see encoded code, Base64, and when you decode it, you'll find out that it's links to casino sites or, I don't know, porn sites or whatever site you want to think of, and all this junk is inside of these different themes. So basically what it comes down to is you really got to do your research as a user, and I know that could be difficult at times in terms of what to look for, but WordPress.org is really the safest place to get WordPress themes or plugins. I know a lot of WordPress plugin developers have switched over their development to GitHub because of the social nature and the ease of collaboration that the service over there has. But there is, and you wrote about this before on the Tavern, Sarah, that there are ways for GitHub developers to synchronize their developments on GitHub to WordPress.org through Subversion. So you can have plugins on both platforms. And I think it just makes common sense if you want the most users possible, or if you want users to actually trust you and trust to use your plugin, to actually have them on both repositories. Because if it's on the primarily users are going to go at the WordPress.org plugin repository first and look for the plugin there first. Not really. I don't really see too many people going to GitHub first to get their plugins.
Yeah, not unless they can't find what they're looking for already.
So if you're out there searching, I mean, you know, this technique, malicious developers will always be able to get away with this technique because people are always looking for a way to get something for nothing. They don't want to pay for the theme. They don't want to pay for the plugin. And I want to stress that if the theme or plugin is licensed under the GPL, there's no law being broken. There's no such thing as stolen GPL license plugins or stolen GPL license themes, because the GPL allows for all that redistribution to occur naturally. But really, just stick with the source, pay for the plugins. That way you know what you're getting, and if you run into problems, you can get support. That's really just a bottom line if you want to keep yourself safe. So last but not least, BuddyPress 2.0. will add better spam management capabilities for administrators. You wrote about this. Is this something you're interested in seeing for 2.0?
Yeah, this is a pretty cool thing. It's already built into WordPress multi-site. Like if you go to the users panel in the admin, you'll see that you can mark users as spam. But BuddyPress is now adding that for single site installations so that admins will always have access to mark users as spam, because sometimes with your BuddyPress site, you'll have the settings component turned off, which has the front end spam management. So admins don't have access to that if they have that component turned off. So this makes it available to them all the time. And it just makes it easier if you get a sudden surge of spam registrations. You can just go in there and quickly mark them as spam. And it's just a lot faster than it used to be. So I think that is a great addition to all the other tools that they're adding to the admin. This release is really cool because they're putting a lot of tools in there for people who manage active communities to make their lives easier. And I don't know if you – I think you listened to the Dradcast this past week, but Boone was on there.
Yes, Boone Georges, or Gorgeous, not Georges, Gorgeous.
And he gave us an update about what's coming in 2.0, and it was really exciting. There are a lot of performance updates that he's done under the hood so that it's going to run a lot faster, and I'm really excited to see that.
Yeah, so, he mentioned some of the queries and some of the improvements were up to 80%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he hasn't published the exact numbers yet, but he has hinted at a few of them, and the improvements are just huge. And it's the kind of thing that people don't get a lot of credit for because, you know, the big visual updates and releases, people are always like, oh, I can see this, I can see that. You know, those are the things that get all the attention. But things that happen under the hood, like performance updates, you know, a lot of times those aren't as visible. But I think this is going to improve everyone's experience with BuddyPress. And I'm excited to see 2.0 in a few weeks.
Yeah, for anyone interested, BuddyPress 2.0, if all things go well, will be released somewhere around April 16th, which also seems to coincide with the release of WordPress 3.9. So that's going to be a busy week if both software projects release major updates during that time.
Yep, no sleep that week.
Oh, great. Yeah, don't tell me about no sleep. I haven't gotten any sleep for I don't know how many weeks. It's killing me. Is there a plugin for that? Is there a plugin that makes me sleep easier? I wish there was. I'd pay for it if there was. So that's going to round it out for this week's headlines. Get you caught up on everything going on in the WordPress community. Next week, April 4th, I'm going to be hosting a large WordPress security plugin roundtable. So I have four gentlemen that will be joining me. Chris Wegman, lead developer of iTheme Security, which, by the way, congrats, guys, on the release of the plugin this week. I'll have Regina Smola, founder of WP Security Lock, Brennan Byrne, founder of CEO of Clef, which is a two-factor authentication, and Sam Hoshkiss, founder of Brute Protect, to protect your site against brute force login attempts. So that's going to be a jam-packed show. I'm going to be one man versus four security people. I don't know how I'm going to manage through that show, but I'll try. And then on May 2nd, tentatively scheduled, Siobhan McNone, who is working on the WordPress history book and also some other projects going on with the new WordPress developer resource that we wrote earlier this week on WordPress Weekly. We have her tentatively scheduled for May 2nd. That would be an awesome show when we have her on to talk about all things WordPress. So with all that said, that does it for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on wptavern.com. Up at the top of the site, you'll see a menu link called Categories. Just hover over that, and you'll see a category called WordPress Weekly. You'll find everything you need to know about the show on that category. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, that's J-E-F-F-R-0. And you can follow Sarah on Twitter at
Polly Plummer, P-O-L-L-Y-P-L-U-M-M-E-R.
You almost said PU. I heard it. Almost.
No, I didn't mess it up. It's too long. I got to get it changed.
And until next week, everybody have a safe and enjoyable weekend.